Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. This special edition celebrates Ohio Goes to the Movies, a signature event of America 250 Ohio. Co-produced by John DeSando and Mary Arena, and hosted by Mary Arena, this podcast version features additional comment and banter with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
It is always good to be ranked in the top 10. I'm Mary Arena.
David Weaver here.
And this is Double Take. David, I'm so glad you could join me to kick off this special series because we're talking about a film that has very strong connections to Columbus, Ohio. Could you tell us about it?
Yes, indeed. Lee Daniels, the formal title, The Butler, or most people just say The Butler,
true,
is a 2013 film and is actually inspired by, I wouldn't say it's based on, it's inspired by a true life story that was written by Columbus native Will Haygood. At the time, in 2008, he was on the Obama campaign trail, and he wanted to find the story of someone who had been an actual member of the domestic staff at the White House, which was predominantly African-American. And so he actually found someone just a few days before the 2008 election. And the result was that he wrote A Butler Well Served by the 2008 election. And that was the story of Eugene Allen, who was a real-life butler from 1952 to 1986, from Truman to Ronald Reagan in the White House. And it was an immediate struck a chord with people, and it was almost immediately accessioned to be a motion picture, which ended up being directed by Lee Daniels in 2013.
And the film was actually adapted, as we said, from an article, but this did lead to Will Haygood writing a book about Eugene Allen's life. How does the story that you read in the inspiring article relate to the movie? Are they identical? Are they similar? How inspired by is Lee Daniels' The Butler?
It's a fictional telling. It's not a biographical film, which is one of the reasons why when the film came out at the very same time, Will released a full-length book called The Butler, A Witness to History. And that was actually the true life story of Eugene Allen, his wife Helene, and their experiences and life in Washington, D.C. during the time that he was the butler, ultimately becoming the maitre d', which was the top position at the White House. And so Will's book, actually, if you want to enjoy the experience to the fullest, you should watch the movie and then read the book.
Well, we certainly hope our listeners will watch the movie. One thing that I found surprising about the film, and I don't know if you did as well, is as I watched it, it certainly reveals the complexities and challenges of the arc of this man's life during the 20th century and the politics behind the scenes with regards to the civil rights movement. But at its heart, it's really focused on the father, Cecil Gaines, played by the wonderful Forrest Whitaker, who his performance alone, I think, is worth seeing the film. But and his oldest son, Louis Gaines, played by Daniel.
Oh, yeah, Lou.
That's really what becomes the focus, because you have this intergenerational conflict over the arc of their lives, where the son has become an activist, the father is a career domestic servant, and how they clash during this time in U.S. history of the civil rights movement. How did you feel about that?
I felt that that was exactly as you were saying, that here was a man, both in the case of Eugene Allen, the real life man, and Cecil Gaines, the fictional character, they were born at the height of Jim Crow. The world that they grow up in is, as Cecil Gaines' father tells him, you know, when his mother is taken away by the white plantation owner, you
still
know.
Still in 1920s.
Yes,
this is not
this is
during
the 1920s.
Slavery.
1926, the film begins. And the fact is, you know, the son is outraged that this white man is taking his mother into the barn. And his father stops him and says, remember, it's his world. We just live in it. And that is very much the experience, you know, that Cecil Gaines has in this film, that as he comes up, and obviously at that time, the role of a domestic, of a butler, was a rather prestigious role to be able to have, especially if you got into something like a wealthy family or the White House. Major hotel. Yes.
Or the White House, ultimately.
Yes, or the White House, yes. And in fact, Cecil Gaines ends up a very small but critical role in the film is played by the wonderful Clarence Williams III.
Yes, all too brief.
Yes, as Maynard, who actually starts Cecil pretty much on the path and is offered a job at the Hotel Excelsior, which is one of the great hotels in Washington, D.C. Maynard, though, does not want to go because he's lived in North Carolina so long he doesn't want to go. But he says he recommended Cecil for the job. And so Cecil gets it, and that is his first position. He rises high there, and he's overheard by someone who is in charge of the program at the White House. And mm-hmm, so that person then taps him to come to work at the White House.
Yeah, he has quite a journey in the film. And through that journey, I had to remind myself that the portrayal of how bad blacks were treated in this country, he sees and experiences a lot of things from the death of his father to seeing lynched men on his journey and the other subtle ways in which he was treated. And then we have his son, who's an activist, who ends up becoming part of the Black Panthers, and what he experiences with the freedom rides and the attacks at the Woolworth dining bar where they sat in the non-colored section. I mean, there's just a lot of brutality that's portrayed in the film. And I had to remind myself, even though I thought in the context of the film, it was very in your face and not subtle at all in terms of the story arc, it had to be 10 times worse in real life than what was portrayed in the film. So I really appreciated that backdrop, although I'm not sure all of it was needed. And this is a film, you brought up Clarence Williams III. There are so many well-known actors and stars in this film. Oprah plays Cecil's wife, Gloria Gaines. And we have just a parade of stars playing the
Oscar
president.
Five Oscar winners. I went through and I thought, oh my gosh, Vanessa Redgrave, Cuba Gooding Jr., Jane Fonda, obviously Forrest Whitaker.
Yes.
And
Robin Williams.
Yes, Robin Williams.
As Eisenhower. And this was one of his last films.
Yes.
Alan Rickman plays Ronald Reagan to Jane Fonda's Nancy Reagan. It's fun almost seeing who pops up in the film, but they're all high quality actors. And I thought all of them played their roles extremely well.
Yes. And like you said, some of them were very brief. Vanessa Redgrave's part, Mariah Carey really doesn't even
I didn't
say
even
anything.
Recognize Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
She's at the very beginning of the film and plays Cecil's mother.
I had not known. I actually had to look up the term because one of the things is it had been so long, I thought I want to see what some of the other contemporaries said about things like that. And I saw a term which I wasn't familiar with. You might be, you know, you and John, and that is stunt casting, where you grab somebody who is a well-known person and you put them in a very short part in everything just because of their star power. But the thing is, it might have been stunt casting, which again, now I know what that is, but the people I thought were all excellent in their part.
The one that threw me off, because I almost thought it was played for comic effect, was John Cusack as Richard Nixon, because he's constantly sweating in the whole film. In his short scenes.
Yes.
And
swatting the fly away.
Constantly sweating. And it almost was comedic.
Yes.
And then I had to think about, well, how old was Richard Nixon? And he was very well known for sweating.
Yes.
When this was done. And really, the age was pretty appropriate between John Cusack and Richard Nixon at that time.
One of the things that I thought was very interesting as a juxtaposition was the scene where Cecil Gaines and the other butlers are all preparing for an elaborate state dinner, the elaborate preparations. At the same time, they cut away to his son at the counter at the Woolworths. Okay, so here's this elegant state dinner, and then here is his son and his friends, colleagues, and everything, trying to be served at a lunch counter. I thought that was a very interesting juxtaposition.
Well, and I think that was part of the goal of Lee Daniels and the screenwriter Danny Strong, was they wanted to focus on the civil rights, but they also wanted to provide this context of Cecil's life against that backdrop and just the dichotomy and complexity that that brought not only to his life, but to his family's life, and particularly his relationship with his son. The one criticism I would have of the film is I thought Terrence Howard, who I admire so much as an actor, his role as Howard, the next door neighbor, I thought was very superfluous and not necessary at all in the context of the film. Tell us what you would recommend to our listeners about this film.
I would definitely recommend this as a film, particularly if you're a person that loves history. This is a great history lesson. It's going to be a wonderful part of Ohio Goes to the Movies. Very thrilling that it's going to be shown as one of the opening events of the Kappa Summer Movie Series. Free screening, which is one of the great things about Ohio Goes to the Movies. There are free screenings around the state because we want Ohioans in this year of America 250 Ohio to celebrate creativity. And one area where Ohio has been most creative has been in cinema.
That is true. So this is showing Friday, June 19th at the Ohio Theater. It is free, but it's also a ticketed event. So go to kappa.com and find out more about it. So David, we're talking about Lee Daniels' The Butler, a film with strong Columbus, Ohio ties.
Yes, indeed. Will Haygood, who has written so many wonderful books and articles over the year, this was actually, even though he's better known now for many of his books, like Tigerland, which is about the East High athletic teams of 1968. Yes, yes. Showdown, which was about efforts by Lyndon Johnson, talking about civil rights era, how Lyndon Johnson maneuvered to put Thurgood Marshall on the Supreme Court as the first black justice in 1967. But the time when he was writing in 2008, he was a journalist for the Washington Post, and he was covering the Obama campaign, traveling around. Mm-hmm. But again, had this idea he would really like, because again, here's this historic event. You're having this first major party black candidate, and things are looking good that he's going to be elected. And he had in his mind that he would love to see the story of someone who had lived through the heights of the Civil War. Civil rights area, which was a civil war, actually.
In a different kind.
And yes, and so he was wondering, could I find somebody who was black, who had been on the domestic staff of the White House? And so he tries every kind of feeler he can put out there.
And I think he said it in an interview, he made over 50 calls.
Yes,
before 50 calls,
because, yes. Eugene Allen in the Washington, D.C. area would not be an uncommon name, but it was good because he had gotten a recommendation from somebody. I forget exactly the story of where, but the person said, well, I know someone who worked for two presidents. Well, turned out to be eight.
Film doesn't cover that he actually started in 1952 under Truman.
No. You actually see him starting like in 1957 because when he comes in, actually, and is serving President Eisenhower, played by Robin Williams, the first time, they're discussing the integration of the school system in Little Rock, Arkansas, which, of course, was a very important part of the civil rights movement. So it starts there, but then he goes home, and his wife, Gloria, and his son, Louis, played by David Oyelowo, are discussing Mamie Till.
Yes.
And even though Emmett Till was lynched in 1955, a few years later, his mother, Mamie Till, really starts to speak out and do appearances across the country. And of course, one of the conflicts is that Lewis wants to go to a rally where she's going to be speaking. And Cecil says, no, you are not going. Nothing good will come of this. I left the South to get away from that.
Exactly. And I think that's portrayed very well in this film in terms of that dichotomy of generations and what Cecil's experience was in forming how he wants to raise his son. He wants to protect him from all of that and keep him away from all that. But by the same token, I was really one inspired in thinking about Lewis and those who really have fought for the ideals of democracy in this country. But then I was also saddened when I reflect back from 2013 when Lee Daniels' The Butler was released and all that hope that we end with. We actually start with Cecil waiting
Yes.
In the White House to go meet with now President Barack Obama. And we end there as well. And it's such a hopeful note of the arc of this man's yes. life. I think about where we are today and the rulings recently from the Supreme Court that have struck down sections of the Voting Rights Act. And it saddens me, but to a certain extent, it emboldens me as well.
Yeah.
And films can do that for us, and especially books that yes. can be moved to films. Will has not had any other of his books or articles inspire or adapted to films, but he does have a new book coming out, or a new book that's just released.
Yes, The War Within the War, which is about the Black experience in the Vietnam War. And again, not something that people spoke about, and he is actually on a national book tour right now with that. He actually launched the book at the National Veterans Memorial here in Columbus a few months ago and spoke about it at the Columbus Metropolitan Club. So, and that was one of the kickoffs events. And again, he just does a wonderful job of giving you the sense of that history. And I would say, you know, somebody, Will is a historian. Will is more a journalist, and I think he thinks of himself more as a journalist. You know, if he's a historian, he's a historical storyteller. That's what he does. He looks for stories, and that's like within The War Within the War. Tigerland, Showdown. Although he has not had another film made from any of his books, a year or two ago, there has been exciting news that someone is interested in doing a book based on his, a biography of Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, interesting.
Talk about exciting a person. You know, and that was one of the things Will early on, after his first book was The Haygoods of Columbus, A Love Story, which was about him growing up, his experience. And Will was born in 54. And so his experiences of growing up, you know, so he grew up and saw everything that we were seeing, you know, on television, all of that stuff, you know. So for his experience, being a young Black man growing up in that time and seeing that, The Haygoods of Columbus was his first book, and it won the Ohio and a Book Award. He's since won two other Ohio and a Book Awards for Tigerland and for Showdowns.
Well, and yes. He's recognized nationally and internationally as well. His book, Tigerland, was actually the runner-up for the 2019 Dayton Literary Peace Prize for
yes.
nonfiction. And in 2022, he was the recipient of the Dayton Literary Peace Prize's Ambassador Holbrook Distinguished Achievement Award. And Will is also a professor at Miami University of Ohio. We're proud to have him as a son of Columbus.
And may I throw one more thing out and everything about him. One of my favorite books of his is a book called Colorization, A Century of Films in Black and White. And it's all about the experience of Blacks and the contributions of Blacks to the cinema. And interestingly, talking about the time we're living in, that book has now been banned from the library at West Point.
Interesting. It is a reflection of our times, sadly. But something that people may not know is, rumor has it that Will Haygood will be at the free screening of The Butler as part of Ohio Goes to the Movies on Friday, June 19th at the Ohio Theater.
He will be there. So that is going to be very exciting. He's coming back. He comes back frequently, as has very close ties to Columbus. And so obviously he was very excited about this. And he was very excited about the fact, you know, that this airing on Friday is Juneteenth.
It is Juneteenth. Rather appropriate.
And one of the things I actually, since I know Will pretty well, as I said, Will, so you're coming back for this year, and you're going to miss the opening of the Obama Library in Chicago, which is happening this Friday
same
as
day.
Well. So, and he said, that's fine. I'm going to be going back for the end of the summer. So that's very good. Because, of course, he's good friends with President Obama.
Well, and we have come full circle. We were inspired to talk about Lee Daniels' The Butler based on Will Haygood's article in the 2008 Washington Post. What do you recommend to our listeners about this film and maybe a good read?
I would definitely say this is a film worth seeing. If you just love good movies, this is a good movie. This is a good story. But particularly if you're a person that loves history, and seeing it unfold, you know, as Mary was saying, an interesting juxtaposition of a person's personal life with what is going on in the country at the same time. So this is a great film to see. I highly recommend it. And I also recommend then that you would, if you love reading as I do, that you read The Butler, A Witness to History, which is the actual story of Eugene Allen, the butler at the White House from 1952 to 1986, whose story inspired the film.
Exactly. And along those lines of being, if you're interested in history and the history of movies, you can visit ohiogoestothemovies.org and look at the Ohio Goes to the Movies Literary Trail, which was presented by the Ohio Anna Library Association, and you will be stunned at the number of historical places around the state that are connected to authors who are Ohio-born, Ohio-connected, and who have contributed to the movie industry and the great films that we know today.
This was the Ohio Goes to the Movie Literary Trail. It was the very last project I worked on before I retired from the Ohio Library. So it was exciting because truth be told, even though I have a library, I love movies even more than I love books. So anyway, and like you said, oh my gosh, how many great movies have come from, resulted from the pens of writers. I mean, I think of, like, you know, Lawrence and Lee and Inherit the Wind, Louis Bromfield and The Rains Came, and so many other
James Thurber, being an alumnus of Ohio State,
yes,
well-versed in
The
in
Secret
James
Life
Thurber.
Of Walter Mitty,
exactly.
You know, which has had two versions.
Which is, yes, it's so popular. It had,
yes,
two versions. My favorite still is the one with Danny Kaye. But do take a look. Visit ohiogoestothemovies.com, and we hope you'll visit us on wcbe.org for additional content like this podcast experience of Double Take. David, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Mary. It's been a pleasure.